Good morning.
Very excited to have you with us today, especially if you are a visitor. We want you to know that you are our honored guest, and we want a chance to get to know you after our services today. On June 28th of 2013, Joey Johnson of Fishers, Indiana, waited in anticipation to share a first dance with his bride, Michelle. When she entered the room, she began to cry. You see, this was Joey's first time to stand in 10 months. In 2012, after returning from a 10-month deployment in Afghanistan, Joey was in an accident, leaving him a paraplegic. Michelle was a wedding planner by trade, but there was one detail that Joey wanted to be a surprise. His friends helped him fashion a harness that would allow him to be eye to eye with his wife on their wedding day. But that was just for one day. What would he give in order to have his health fully restored? What lengths do you think he would go to in order for that to happen? If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them, and they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get him near because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes are sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Jesus goes to Capernaum, and it says that he was at home. Now, since Jesus did not own a house himself, he was most likely at the home of Peter and Andrew. Their house is mentioned in the previous chapter in verse 29. Jesus is inside this house, and he's preaching.
And there are so many people there that the house is literally overflowing with people. There's not even room for those who want to come near, even at the doorstep. This reminds me of a activity that we had at Fried Hardeman when I was a student there. There is a small church building on the edge of campus, and it's called Clayton Chapel. And the acoustics in the building are very nice, and so once a month we would meet inside of that building for a singing. It was very important to get there early if you actually wanted to be inside, because if you did not, then it was often the case that you weren't even able to get inside of the building. You would have to be outside, which it could be cold, and that's not where you wanted to be. But that's what we have here. There are so many people inside of this building that it's literally overflowing with people. And then we have five men, and they're making their way toward that house. Four of them can walk, but one of them can't. He's paralyzed. These four men are carrying him on a mat. The Bible doesn't tell us who these men were. We don't know their names. We don't know their occupations. We don't know their relationship with this paralyzed man. Perhaps they were immediate family, a dad, perhaps his brothers. Maybe they were cousins or neighbors. We don't know very much about them. But what we do know is that they wanted to get this paralyzed man, who they loved, to someone that they believed could do something about it. Clearly, they had heard that Jesus had the power to heal. He had the power to do things like this, and they just wanted to get him to Jesus. But then there's a problem. They show up at the house where Jesus is preaching, and they can't get inside. Now, this would have been an easy time to turn around. They've been carrying this man for an unknown distance, and they get to the house, and what would be an easy thing to say? Well, we're sorry, but the house is full. We're going to have to take you back home, or wherever it was that we came from, we're going to have to go back there now. But that's not what they do. They don't take him home. They devise a plan that's simple, but drastic. They decide to take the paralyzed man on top of the roof of the house, and then they remove part of the roof, and then what happens? They lower him down right in front of Jesus. Now let's just imagine that we're in that room. What are you thinking in that moment? You're sitting there, you're listening to a sermon. What if what I'm preaching right now, you just heard someone on the roof, walking around. And then you see that there's a hole in the roof. And then someone is being lowered down into it. So they're in this room, and this... Ooh, off stage. I almost fell off it a few weeks ago, and then I just... Yeah. Okay. So you see this paralyzed man being lowered into the roof. What are you thinking? Who is he? What is he doing here? Why is he coming from the ceiling? And if you lived during this time period, you would ask a rather unfortunate question. Who sinned? Was it this man? Or was it his parents? Who did something wrong that caused him to be in this dilemma that he's in? But what does Jesus see? Verse 5, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven."
There were a lot of external things to look at. But what did Jesus see? Jesus saw their faith and He said, "Son, your sins, they're forgiven." In April of 2012, I took a mission trip to Mexico. We went to a preacher's training school there, and our intention was to check on the work of those who were being financially supported and to give needed supplies, hymnals, chairs, Bible class materials, and so on. It was very humbling to be in that school because the conditions of that school were not what you would expect to find in any given building in the U.S. But I remember during one of the evenings, we were eating dinner at one of the members' homes, and I was sitting next to a gentleman that was in his 60s, and we talked for 30 or 40 minutes, and it didn't take very long to figure out that he didn't have very much. If you look down at his shoes, you would notice that he didn't have shoelaces. In fact, he was using ropes to keep his shoes tied. And there was a reason why his shoes were so worn out. He walked 6 miles every single day to get to that preacher's training school and would walk 6 miles to get home. How often is it the case that we live 2 miles from the church building and there's more than one car in the driveway, but it's still not convenient enough for us to get to where Jesus is? This man was paralyzed. He couldn't get up and walk and go to where Jesus was preaching. He couldn't get in his car and drive there. He had to be carried by these four men. Can you imagine lying on your back and being carried through city streets, paralyzed? People were staring at you. But he just wanted to be where Jesus was. And what did Jesus say? "Son, your sins are forgiven you." So we have this guy that's being lowered into the roof. And he's right in front of Jesus. What are you expecting him to do? You're expecting him to heal this guy, right? Isn't that what Jesus does? When Jesus is around someone who's sick, he has compassion. He heals them. Remember the story where the woman touches just the fringe of his garment? What happens? Jesus feels power flowing out of him. This man's problem is very visible. He's paralyzed. He's been lowered in through the ceiling. If you were just to ask anyone in the room, what is his problem? What would everyone say? Well, he can't walk. Let's notice what Jesus addresses first. "And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.'" Jesus understood something that he wants us to understand. This man was paralyzed, but there was something else that was shackling him. That sin. And that's what Jesus addressed first. Let's turn our thoughts to the cross. Jesus is crucified between two robbers. One of the men, they revile him. But the other
Lord, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And what does Jesus say? Truly I say to you, you're going to be with me today in paradise. Now, doesn't that just run shivers down your spine? Today, you will be with me in paradise. Do any of us think about that story and say, well, Jesus, how could you let this man suffer on the cross? Why don't you heal him? Why don't you restore him to his full health? That's not what we're focused on. You're going to be with me today in paradise. There's a reason why that takes our mind away from any other thing, because each of us, deep down, we know that there is nothing more important than being right with God. And that's what Jesus understood. This man expected to be healed, and isn't that what Jesus did? He did heal him. But that's not what he was most concerned about. He walked in and he said, son, I see your faith, and your sins are forever blotted out. But not everyone liked that. Verse 6, now some of the scribes were there, questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. And then they, to their credit, make an observation that is 100% correct. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Who does this guy think he is? Now, if someone hurts your feelings, and they come to you and say, I'm very sorry. Now, how should we respond to that if someone is truly sorry? Well, I forgive you. But is that what Jesus does? Does Jesus go to this man because he had been personally offended? He had an encounter with this paralyzed man. The paralyzed man did something that hurt Jesus' feelings. Is that what happened? No. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. It's very different. I forgive you for something you did to me, so that we can be reconciled and close again. That's so different from me coming to you and saying, your sins, everything you've ever done, everything you've ever thought, is forgiven. The Pharisees understood what a bold thing that was to say. And it is bold. You don't have the power and the might to back it up, but Jesus did. He asked them a question. He said, what's easier, to say, pick up your mat and walk, or to say your sins are forgiven you? Now, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven. I could walk to anyone in this room and say, your sins are forgiven, but I don't have the power to do that. I can't forgive you. I could say it. But Jesus says, so that you will know that I have the power to actually do this for real, I'm going to do something visible to show that. And he told the man, rise, pick up your mat, and go. And that's exactly what he does. And everyone in the room, they glorify God. This man was helpless. He had to be carried to where Jesus was and lowered into a crowded room full of people who did not want him to be there. But Jesus did. And he understood something that I hope we can understand this morning. Yes, he was helpless. He was paralyzed. But what Jesus cared about more than anything was
his spiritual condition? This morning, that's the question that I want us to consider, is where are we in regard to our spiritual health? Maybe for you, you haven't even taken that first step. You haven't believed in Him or confessed Him or been willing to turn away or been willing to put Christ on in baptism. Maybe you've been thinking about that for a long time. This morning is an opportunity to do that. Or maybe your heart's just grown cold and you need to have a change of heart. Maybe that doesn't mean coming forward. Maybe that means something needs to change in here. If there's anything that we can help you with today, then please come now as we stand, as we sing.